content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the September 2019 issue of Line Magazine. We'll begin today with our President's message. It's entitled, To Lead, We Must First Ask How We Can Serve. Greetings, Lions. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Have you ever heard this saying? This is supposed to speak to the limits of persuading people to do things that may be good for them. But I see this differently. I say, maybe that horse wasn't thirsty. Maybe the horse was hungry or tired. Or maybe he had a sore tooth that needed treatment. Often when we assume we know what is best for someone, we're wrong. Good leaders do not just lead people to water. They ask them what they need and bring it to them. I call this servant leadership. As Lions, we are all leaders, and it's our responsibility to listen to those we serve and do everything in our power to get them the tools they need so that they can, in turn, serve the cause. In my year as leader of the Lions, I will be continually asking those I meet how I can help them to be better Lions. I ask you to do the same. If you are a district governor, ask your club presidents what they need to bring in more members. If you're a club president, ask your members how you can help them have the best experience as a Lion. And if you are a Lion, reach out to the community. Ask them what they need and then bring it to them. That is how we all become leaders in change for the world. Sincerely, Dr. Yung-Yul Choi, International President, Lions Clubs International. We'll move next to our Global Service Department. Got a couple articles for you there, and the first one is Back to the Roots. 8 years after a catastrophic Category 5 tornado leveled Irving Elementary in Joplin, Missouri, the school is rebuilt and looking better than ever thanks to Lions, Leos, and LCIF working together. The Missouri Lions of District M6 and the Carl Junction Leos Club joined forces and went back to the roots for Earth Day, working to improve the school grounds at Irving. In May of 2011, the Missouri Lions were in Joplin helping residents recover from the tornado that killed more than 150 people and injured more than 1,000, taking down homes and schools in its path. Debbie Cantrell, district governor for M6 at the time, challenged the Lions of Missouri to adopt the first school to reopen after the tornado. That school was Irving Elementary, and Lions planted trees and shrubs on the land left barren by the winds. This year, PDG Cantrell drove past the school and discovered that the children still desperately needed more shade on the playground. She approached the Carl Junction Leos and the Lions of M6, and in one day, more than 40 Leos and Lions with volunteers from the area service organizations laid 2,000 pounds of mulch, donated and planted 9 mature shade trees, and built a 12-by-12-foot pergola. Irving principal Josh Depot, who spent the day spreading mulch with the volunteers, says it was a blessing to have them. The pergola was the one piece that surprised me. When they showed up at 7:15, they already had the posts in the ground. Led by the Carl Junction Leo Club, District 26 M6 was awarded a $2,500 LCIF Leo Service Grant to help them implement the project. Lions of District M6 contributed an additional $2,500. Cantrell says this project gave the Leos the unique opportunity to work with an entire district of Lions. I wanted to come up with a project that has a lot of meaning to the area, she says. The shade is really needed here because there were so many trees lost in the tornado. About 500 students at the elementary school will especially appreciate these additions over the late summer months when the days can be sweltering in southwest Missouri and the school has started, says Depot. Everything is done now, and it is great. Playing with music. At Montezuma Elementary School in rural Iowa, every kid gets to be a cool percussionist, and there are no wrong notes. Thanks to the Montezuma Lions Club, there are 9 musical percussion instruments on the school's playground. Included with the xylophones is a color-coded music book with notes for songs like Old MacDonald Had a Farm and Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. But as the children are quick to demonstrate, there is nothing to stop them from creating their own masterpieces. That's part of the fun. The percussion playground includes 3 pairs of conga drums, a babble drum, an 8-pipe chime set, a 7-piece set of tubular bells, and the 2 xylophones, says Lion Roger Allen, the project chair. When the Lions were researching ideas for a project to celebrate LCI's centennial and also their club's 70th anniversary, Allen presented this idea he had seen work successfully in another community. Funding came from the club, grants, the school, and a generous community donor, says Allen. The Lions Clubs, he says, wanted to support the fine arts and provide children with the opportunity to create and appreciate music at a young age. What's even better is that all the instruments are wheelchair accessible. Montezuma Elementary School music instructor Carrie Burnett says this creative addition to the playground makes music fun for all ages. Every day, her students become musicians, and the joy spreads to the children at the daycare across the street. The children at Zuma Zoo Daycare next door particularly love the xylophone with the color-coded notes, says their director. Having the musical instruments on the playground isn't just fun. It adds an educational value to their playtime. Next, from our In the News department, calling all lionesses. The Lioness Bridge Program, established to help encourage lioness clubs to join the Lions family, will be ending on June 30, 2021. Between July 1, 2019 and June 30, 2021, clubs that decide to convert can have any number of members and charter fees will be waived. In addition, all lionesses who join in this time period will carry over their years of service and will be offered a credit allowing them to pay half international dues throughout the remainder of the program, and this cannot be used with any other discounts offered by LCI. Help spread the word to the hardworking lionesses in your district. It's never been a better time to become a lion. Also from In the News, golden ticket winner prompts conversation about disabilities. On May 28th, Cody Lee, who's 22 years old, received a golden ticket on the season premiere of America's Got Talent. The ticket is a fast track to the show's live audition rounds. Lee won the judges and audience over with his rendition of A Song for You by Donny Hathaway. The clip of his audition went viral, attracting more than 300 million views in just 1 week. However, there was a stir over the original headline of the video clip, which read, Cody Lee defeats autism and blindness with music. The problem, say advocates for those with disabilities, is that Lee should be celebrated for his talents alone and not for the perception of overcoming his disabilities. The Center for Disability Rights, or CDR, is a not-for-profit, community-based advocacy and service organization for people with all types of disabilities, sent a statement to the online news outlet HuffPost saying, in part, Cody Lee's disabilities are as much a part of his identity as one's heritage or culture. While we agree that Cody Lee is incredibly talented with his voice and piano skills, we want to be clear that one can be both talented and disabled. The incident is a good reminder that for many, their disability is part of their identity and not something that needs overcoming. Next, I want to share one of our feature articles called Teaching Through Trauma. It's a Tuesday, and Jack, who was a student at Sycamore Elementary School in Redding, California, wasn't in his classroom. He was clinging upside down to a gate outside the principal's office, crying and screaming. Jack had been in and out of numerous schools in his short life, but each one had dismissed him because of his behavior. He would run out of classrooms. Teachers and administrators gave up, exhausted, and would send him home. But not Susanna Winstead. She was the new principal of Sycamore Elementary, and she wasn't going to turn kids like Jack away. She knew he had a history of throwing tantrums, so he would get sent home. Winston made an agreement with his parents that they could call for support or reassurance, but they would not send him home. But that meant we had to figure out how to stay with him and keep him in the classroom, she says. When Winstead became principal of Sycamore Elementary in 2012, she saw a school that reflected the woeful downturn and circumstances of the community it served. As recently as 2004, the school had been high-performing, representing a population of upper- and middle-class families with children who went on to attend college. Over the course of 8 years, the economy in Reading spiraled, hit hard by the housing crash and loss of construction jobs that were a central part of that economy. Many families lost their homes. By 2012, many children at Sycamore were homeless, living in motels, or had parents struggling with addiction. Winstead wanted an environment that had high expectations for kids, regardless of their circumstances. She began participating in a program called No Excuses University, which is a network of schools that believe all students can be academically successful and attend college. The schools participate in workshops and take measurable steps to work toward their goal of improving college readiness. Within 3 years, Sycamore had qualified as a No Excuses school. But something was still wrong. A lot of students were still acting out or distracted, says Winstead. They weren't rising to their potential. So she and her team at Sycamore began looking into trauma. At the time, research into early brain development had surged, and one area receiving increasing attention was the effect of abuse and neglect on the developing brain. In particular, researchers focused on ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, as the potential culprit behind a variety of physical and emotional problems for children extending well into adulthood. Winstead began to wonder if her students were suffering from trauma. They did some preliminary testing and found that 80 to 85% of their school population scored at least a 3 out of 10 on the ACE assessment scale. While that doesn't seem high, a score of 4 or more is associated with a variety of serious adverse health outcomes. Any number of ACEs contributes to behavior problems, including acting out, a lack of focus, and the inability to self-regulate. No wonder, Winstead realized, teachers were feeling that in the classroom. Some teachers felt students needed to leave their baggage at home, but Winstead disagreed. We have these kids for 6 to 7 hours a day, a good portion of their waking hours. It's up to us to help our students, she says. Winstead saw a school culture that needed a transformation. She and her team researched ACEs and how to help students get from the downstairs part of their brains when they are stressed and reactionary to the upstairs part where they can learn. It so happened that right about that time, the Reading Breakfast Lions were in the market for a school to adopt. When they saw that Winstead was trying to do something special for her students, they were eager to help her do it. Together with the help of Olivia LaField, a local educator who had been working with schools in the area to help children with trauma, they developed their plan for the Peace and Love Zone, also known as the PALS Room. It would be a sanctuary for kids dealing with trauma, focused on giving students sensory materials to help them process emotions. School officials hoped the room would help children transition to upstairs thinking. Students who were struggling would be assigned to the regular 15-minute visits to the room. The repetition of the practice was important. It would help them train their brains to react differently. Each student would work with the sensory materials based on their unique needs. They would choose 3 activities and do them for 10 to 12 minutes before spending the remaining few minutes journaling about the experience. The goal is to get them regulated so they can go back to the classroom and learn, says Winstead. During the summer of 2016, the Reading Breakfast Lions spent hours each week painting and decorating the classroom. White and blue walls, yellow trim, whimsical pictures, and brightly colored cupboards and furniture made it inviting. 2 white glider chairs and 3 bean bags placed on a yellow rug were welcome places to rest. A few stuffed animals relaxed in the gliders, waiting to be cuddled. It felt welcoming and serene. They hoped the children would feel that way, too. They did. They officially began the program in the fall of 2018 with 17 kids assigned to regular rotations in the room. If their behavior changed over time and they stopped needing to go to the room, then they would go off regular rotation but would always be able to go back if they needed to. By the end of the school year, only 2 or 3 of the students were still on a regular rotation. "It's been amazing," says Winstead. When they began, one of the screeners they used identified 58% of students as being in what was referred to as Tier 1 externalizing behaviors. These were the least severe. 26% were in Tier 2, which requires intervention, and 16% were in Tier 3, which is the most severe. By the end of the second trimester, those numbers had shifted to 67% in Tier 1, 21% in Tier 2, and 12% in Tier 3. That's a remarkable change for just one trimester. The data is still getting crunched for the third trimester, but given what Winstead and her team are seeing in the classrooms, she feels certain the numbers will support the positive change that's taken place over the year. "We don't want to label kids or say they need a more restrictive environment," she says. "As school employees, we do have that responsibility to teach kids about regulation and self-discipline." And that's why she didn't give up on Jack. She had him visit the PALS room 2 to 4 times a day and had an outside therapist come in to work with him. His teacher was fully on board, working with the therapist and sharing strategies so they could figure out what helped him. After just 2 months, Jack was staying in the classroom 100% of the time. "We could see it worked," says Winstead. "He was engaging with his teacher and revealing that he was actually quite bright." After the Reading Lions felt the benefits too. Mary Stevenson, a Reading Lion, involved in the adoption of the Sycamore School, says the experience helped her understand how vulnerable these kids really are. In early December, they brought gifts to the school for the kids. Among them were some teddy bears. LaField felt they would be perfect for two boys who were working hard to improve their behaviors. LaField called the boys to the office and told them that because they were working so hard, the Lions wanted to give them a gift, and she gave them a bear. At first, Stevenson wasn't sure a teddy bear would be an appropriate gift for 10 to 11-year-old boys, but she watched as they hugged the bears tightly. "It brought tears to your eyes," says Stevenson. "It made us realize how fragile these little boys are and how desperately they needed something to hug." Thanks to the dedication of the Sycamore Elementary's teachers and administrators and the hard work of the Caring Lions, more kids will get the chance to learn how to manage stress, even if it just means taking out 15 minutes to hug a stuffed teddy bear. Another feature article, Looking Good and Doing Good. Reading Braille, Navigating with a White Cane, Challenging Ableist Assumptions. People who are blind or visually impaired face these and many other obstacles. Add to those learning English, affording college, and losing nearly 150 pounds, and you'll get a sense of the additional challenges that 25-year-old Kodar Farhat has tackled. Blind from birth, Farhat emigrated to Dearborn, Michigan with his family from Lebanon just 10 years ago. "I didn't speak English and I didn't know anything about the region," he says. "I had to learn the language, I had to learn new customs, and I had to get around as a blind person where nothing is within walking distance except for the gas station and the bank. I look at it as if someone threw me in the middle of the ocean and asked me to swim to shore." Fortunately, Farhat has a heck of a stroke. After becoming fluent in English and completing high school, he earned his associate's degree in special education from Henry Ford College, then enrolled at the University of Michigan at Dearborn to pursue a bachelor's degree in political science. In his sophomore year, he was just wondering how to continue to afford tuition. "I was broke as hell," when he heard about the Lions Clubs of Michigan White Cane Scholarship for the Visually Impaired. He applied for and received it, and suddenly he found himself being invited to make motivational speeches at area Lions clubs, as well as to visit local support groups for the blind. Coder is just an amazing service person in the community, says Lions Club of Detroit President Susie Williams. She had the opportunity to learn that for herself a few years ago when her club agreed to host a Thanksgiving dinner for homeless children, only to find out 3 days before the event that the person who'd agreed to donate the turkeys had backed out. I told Coder, "My panties are in a pinch," she laughs. "I had some pharmacist in Dearborn donate all the turkeys for us in just a couple days' time. He was the hero of the day, just for sure." Continuing to speak at Lions clubs around the area, while he finished his undergraduate degree in 2016, Farratt decided to work on his physical appearance as well. "I've always dreamed about becoming a worldwide public speaker," he explains. "The better you look on television and on stage, the more offers you're going to get." That led him to shedding nearly 150 pounds, taking up bodybuilding, and birthing a new dream, appearing in a fashion show. That's where Williams, who is a local jazz vocalist, came in. "You got to look good on stage, you know," she says. So some of the people in the fashion industry love to support me. She connected Farratt with her friend, Detroit designer Vonjour Reese, who agreed to use Farratt as a runway model in the April 2018 edition of the popular annual Hair Wars. Accompanied by another model and using a white cane, Farratt strode proudly down the runway, pausing at the end for a standing ovation. "The audience was shocked and surprised," he says. "I couldn't see their faces, but I heard it in their voices." Since then, Farratt has modeled in two more shows for Reese and has hopes of branching into television commercials as well. "If that seems unrealistic, well, nobody expected me to do what I'm doing now," he points out. "If you have that strong faith and you work with your heart and your mind, you'll get there." Meanwhile, Farratt has finished his undergraduate degree, begun a master's program in public administration and policy at the University of Michigan at Dearborn, started working part-time as a liaison for the Dearborn public school system, and joined the Lions Clubs of Detroit. His latest dream, organizing a series of fashion shows in which all of the models are blind or visually impaired. "The goal is inclusion," he says. "The word should be written in gold, inclusion. Believe it or not, there are some people who do not believe that we," meaning people with disabilities, "can do much. There's nothing better than proving the opposite." For her part, Williams continues to believe that Farratt will go far and that being a lion will only help get him there. To put that belief in context, she tells a story from the early days of the club. "We've been doing a Christmas party for blind students from Detroit public schools for over 89 years, she explains. "In 1955, we scooped up a blind kindergartner. We found out that he loved to beat the crap out of his mom's pots and pans. Maybe she'd like them back. So we gave that kid a set of drums. Fast forward a few decades later, that kid came back and crashed the party. He said, 'Thank you for those drums. I built my musical career around that.' That small act of kindness shaped my life." That kid's name was Stevie Wonder. Whether Farratt will achieve similar heights is impossible to say, but he certainly has the gumption for it. And as he likes to end every speech he gives, "I will reach for the stars that I cannot see." From our LCIF Impact Stories Department, we have a story from where Lions give supplies and smiles to children in need with the help of a district and club community impact grant. Growing up without parents is hard enough, but it's even worse when an orphanage is not available to provide everything children need to be happy and healthy. Despite loving and nurturing caretakers in less fortunate areas, there just isn't enough to go around. Compelled to serve youth, Lions take action. In Korea, Lions used a district and club community impact grant from Lions Clubs International Foundation, also known as LCIF, to personally deliver simple but much-needed supplies to children living at an orphanage in Vietnam. At the Miam Tour Tam orphanage, the luxury of shoes, much less sports equipment, is unaffordable. The children aren't able to be children and play, says Hyun Jun Lee, president of the Hanseo Lions Club in Korea. The shoes they receive through donations are old, but must be kept for long-term use. The limitations the children lived with had Lions concerned. Knowing that kids did not have proper shoes to protect their feet or games to let their little imaginations run wild made them want to create a plan. The Lions decided to raise money and apply for an LCIF grant that would enable them to make a difference in the lives of these children. With the spirit of service, 15 Lions from the Hanseo Lions Club packaged loads of goods and began their journey. They left from Incheon, Korea, and traveled more than 2,000 miles to Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, bringing new shoes, sports equipment, school supplies, kitchen utensils, and food to 95 children. The children were delighted. They now can play sports like soccer, basketball, volley, and badminton. After unloading the supplies, the Lions played games with the children before enjoying some barbecue for lunch. We chose to visit this orphanage to make a small difference. We wanted to spread hope to children growing up without parents, share a pair of shoes, and laugh together, says Lee. The teachers and children were so happy and thankful for the abundance of unexpected donations we were able to provide. The joy brought to the children living at Miam Tu Tam Orphanage was made possible by a district and club community impact grant, or DCG. This uniquely designed program enables clubs and districts to receive grants of up to 15% of their unrestricted donations to LCIF in a given Lion year. A valuable way to address community needs, the funding could help Lions provide comfort to a sick child, plant trees in a local park, or purchase nutritious food for hungry neighbors. Visit lionsclubs.org/grants to learn more. And we have just enough time for a couple quick facts by the numbers. 150 pounds lost by Lion Khodur Ferhat before becoming a runway model. 8 pipes on the chime set installed by Lions at Montezuma Elementary in Montezuma, Iowa. 142,536 saplings given to fourth graders by Lions through the fourth grade forester program since 2013. And finally, 2,000 pounds of mulch used to landscape a school in tornado-ravaged Joplin, Missouri. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. And again, that's ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any questions or comments, please call us 919-832-5138. Again, 919-832-5138. Have a wonderful day.